Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we have a great one for you if you've been in the trenches with me, where we are 350 podcasts deep, and many of those are coined around what we have called system-built construction. And on the pre-interviews, so jazzed of what we're going to be talking about today. So this one, if you haven't listened to some of the system-built podcasts in the past, we'll make sure to circle back with us through the Master Facilitators community, because we're going to be throwing so many different acronyms and stuff that's local here to Colorado, but that really fits into the big picture. Shout out to Amanda Cunningham, who reached out to us and got this thing going. Honored to have Nathan Peterson in studio, who is the CEO and founder of Videra Modular. What a great story that we're going to unpack today. And the main message that I want to convey to you, Tribe, is that modular, or what we call system built through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, is a viable option to help solve the affordable housing crisis. And we're going to talk about today how we're truly breaking through the ceiling. When Nate and I were talking through this before we got in, he goes, you know, I've been at this for 20 years, and I truly believe right now, with all of the momentum, it's time to make this happen. So how this is going to benefit you is he's been in the trenches for 20 years, building, developing, installing, designing, and executing modular projects. So my perspective is kind of deep on this one, where I'm going to throw a lot out there, and then we're going to unpack that and go through that with Nathan, or Nate Peterson, with Videra Modular. So one of the big, there was 8 bullet points that I have to align with here when we get this thing going. Number one, he talks about how the theory of manufacturing, you need standardization. I've been seeing this for 20 years going on in the factories of the what's done in the factory and what's done on site, of blending on site and off site solutions. When you put the word manufacturing in there, you got to create standardization. I'm super excited about this conversation because we're here, boots on the ground, looking eyeball to eyeball in Denver, Colorado, in studio. And Colorado has awarded by OEDIT and CHAFA, where we're going to talk about their new 140,000 square foot factory. They've been leading the value prop and the why for modular in Colorado for 20 plus years and leading change with the Colorado Master Facilitators. And we were talking through so many different contexts. I go back to all these different podcasts of shout out to Eric Schaefer from Fading West and all these different people that were connecting these threads to build better buildings here in Colorado. One of the things we're going to talk a bit about is the ADUs or a hot button thing, but we need to create that not just another shiny object. We need to use that as a standard practice, and the state is getting behind that because you got to feed the beast and have a standard protocol to be able to create more housing in a creative way. And we're also going to talk about the partnerships with NREL. And if you are going to go volumetric, this is one of the key things of all the projects Art of Construction is in part of. It has to be nearly complete. You can't do so many different things on-site if you're going to be paying to do it off-site. So this current blend of on-site and off-site solutions have to really get dialed in. If you're going to go full volumetric, full boxes, that there's a lot of air being shipped and there's a lot of logistics around that that you have to dial in. The key thing is what I've heard and they've been working on, is you have to meet the municipalities and designs where they are and get the right master facilitators to put that together. And majority of the projects that I've seen, they start and they get going and they just try to scale to only do big, large projects because that's where most of the money is. But you have to have a product that meets all types if you're really going to be in the attainable housing and be able to get the states to be able to create housing for different levels and put that all together. And downstream, we have so many conversations to unpack here. But first, let's get to know Nathan's story, where he come from, and what's going on with Videra. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, Thanks Nate, what's your favorite beverage?
Oh, Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Pretty,
all right.
Pretty boring.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
You know, I think my favorite place in Colorado has to be, hands down, Telluride. I think it's the prettiest place in the state. And then, you know, beyond that, I think East Coast is pretty fun. Enjoy Boston.
All right, so staycation, Telluride. Shout out to my buddy Ryan Siggins. Him and I went heli skiing with our wives in Silverton this year, which was a big bucket list, and we hit
That's
it perfectly.
That's a big one. Okay.
All right, so we're going to talk a lot about close to home with Colorado. So you also said the East Coast. Give us one story from Boston.
East Coast, you know, so we went on this flurry trip out to Boston. I had never been to Boston before. Went out there with my daughter to go college visits. I got a daughter in high school, and the waterfront in Boston, I just kind of fell in love with it. I'm kind of hoping she goes to school out there, so we'll see what happens.
Awesome.
Yeah.
She close to at that age?
She is. She's a junior in high school. So
It's imminent. You know, it's coming. The stages of life. Yeah. My daughter is 9 years old, and so we're just going. But my friends who are like have the older, it's like, boy, that's a big deal.
It's a whole thing. It is. Yeah. Yeah. It's coming. It's like a freight train. I'm not looking forward to her leaving. But yeah, anyway.
Awesome. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos?
Oh, definitely golf. You know, best golf story in the last 2 months. We went down to Mexico and we were on the ground for less than 48 hours and we played 92 holes of golf in 48 hours. So
you're speaking my language.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there, as golf is my passion. People that listen of our retreat center that we're building out and building a little, we call it Wanch Golf, where every green is a windmill and you just have to hit metal. So it's this blend of people who don't play, and it's all artificial grass, and it's this unique experience that we go there to have as much fun as possible here in Colorado, but then really try to save our pennies through what we love to do, which is creating housing, and then go play experience golf. When I was talking, I just had the pleasure of going to the Masters to walk the grounds, and you had to one-up me and show me the picture of like going over and being over. You actually got to go on to Amen Corner versus.
Correct. Yeah, no, it was that's a life event there for sure. So
awesome. Well, it's an honor to get to know you here, and I'm excited for the rest of the tribe to hear your story. What is your story that led you to being the CEO of Vedera?
Oh, wow. You know, and so I started in this business in 2005, so coming up on 20 years just in Colorado, you know, building modular stuff. And so, you know, we started out doing our own developments. Then we actually ended up, you know, forming a dealership that we've had for about the last 15 years in Colorado, selling, you know, modular product and general contracting projects all over the state. We've probably permitted and built probably close to 500 modular projects in Colorado over the years. From a background standpoint, I'm an engineer, finance and accounting degree. I got my A, B, and C licenses, you know, from a general contracting standpoint.
Nice.
Been an installer, you know, so I've set probably a couple, maybe probably closing in on 1,000 boxes, over the years. Got really involved with affordable housing, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years with the Division of Housing, supporting them, and then also being on the board at Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. So, yeah.
Love that. And these moments in time, you know, some of the days can be long, but the years are sure short as they fly by, right?
Yeah.
And I think back of AOC's show 120, and we called it System Build Lifestyle. It was a whole series that ended up being the System Build Construction that we still talk about every day. And shout out to Audrey Grubesic, where she said, I said, you create the guests. Let me go to modular school with you, and we'll create our own master's program and interview 20 people.
Ah, okay.
And so that was the origin of that, that it's ironic looking at this here today that you and I are just meeting face-to-face for the first time, but that released November 1st of 2018. We're recording this of April 23rd of 2024, but all these conversations and these moments in time are always moving and shaking because construction is not a one sentence how it moves, right?
Right.
You learn by doing, and that's what I heard from you on your intro of what you did of like actually setting boxes. And AOC show 120, I'm excited to go back and listen to that to just get new and old perspectives because it was titled System Builds, The Evolution of Construction. With Jason Davis, the president of Colorado Modular Homes, or CMH, joined us on the SBL to talk system builds. I'll raise my hand. I had no clue what system built meant then.
Really?
I had never done modular construction other than in the lead into this is right out of college. I got recruited to go work for Palm Harbor Homes, and I went there for the onboarding, and I was like, this is such garbage. It's like whatever Pink Panther, whatever they could get a deal on. Yeah,
that's what they put
they
in
were
the house.
Shoving it down there to go and like do this thing. And I was like, you could see right through that. But then you had
housing.
To go into that,
right?
So the whole manufactured modular, I've been on this quest now for 25 years in supply chain.
And,
so that's where you got to understand where people are coming from to understand where they want to go.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we call modular or offsite solutions system-built construction, mm-hmm. which is just a catch-all for everything. Of you better have the right systems on-site, off-site, and if
correct.
You go volumetric.
Right.
And there's so much negativity, and it's really been a breath of fresh air and an honor to meet you of like the positivity and the momentum you and your team of Videra are bringing to this from your background with CMH.
Right. Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
The CMH, Colorado Modular Homes. I didn't know that until this morning. And weaving these threads
together
is important, and that's what we try to do, and that's what podcasting, I think, is so great because it's this longer format where you can be where you're on the getting your workout or playing golf or in the yard or driving somewhere right now listening to this. I'm negative about construction just as much as you are.
Right.
Because it's hard.
It is hard.
Right?
It is not easy.
So how do we use construction for good? I really want you to start there.
You know, I think in our state, you know, obviously we have a housing crisis, right? We have people are moving out. They can't afford to live here anymore. And, you know, there are resources and options that our state historically hasn't utilized. You know, our modular market share in Colorado is below 2%. Nationally, it's closer in that 3 to 4% range. We're importing 90% of the modular projects that that are installed in Colorado come in from out-of-state factories, adding to the cost to get them here, pollution, all the things, you know, that make that a negative. And so
it costs more to ship it across the country?
Shocker. Right. And so, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, we've really been trying to kind of, you know, discuss with the state and the affordable housing, you know, suppliers in the state is that, you know, there's this opportunity if we can get it right to be able to really, you know, lower the cost of housing in Colorado, you know, from the standpoint of being able to provide more affordable options to the affordable developers, the affordable, you know, housing authorities and things like that. And so, you know, it's something that from a momentum standpoint, certainly we have some momentum in an industry standpoint because we're kind of behind in Colorado. We need to catch up, but it's also at a time when it's really needed. And so there's a lot of just kind of market forces in need kind of coming together right now in Colorado that can, I believe, you know, help us get over, you know, the hump of, you know, being able to utilize, you know, system built construction in Colorado.
All right. The part that I'm so excited to announce with you is unpacking the roadmap for your new Colorado factory. And I could be here all day with you talking about this because I've taken so many deep dives into figuring out, okay, we need more factory manufactured solutions in Colorado.
Right.
The state of Colorado has really got behind that.
They have.
I've been working with groups like Housing Innovation Alliance, the OEDIT group, all these different people that are like passionate and putting a lot of time and money into this.
Right.
But there's been very few actual factories actually get up and running and being successful.
Right.
I go back to the podcast with Ross Cohen and Eric where we talked through the different ways you can do offsite solutions, where D.L. Cohen just does offsite flat pack
panelization,
framing,
right?
Where Fading West does full volumetric houses. And a lot of like the, you know, the Modular Building Institute and all these organizations, when I go to these conferences, it's always like, well, we have this brand identity or marketing messaging crisis of manufactured to modular to what this means. And it's this whole thing that we've kind of just trying
the
to
stigma
lead the charge
associated with
of what is system built construction.
Right.
And you have to turn a lot of things upside down to do that. So I'm super excited for you. Give us the roadmap, how it came to be, what it is, where we're going from the past and what Videra means and all this stuff that we're so excited to announce. 140,000 square foot factory that you got a lease facility that stood up ready to go and ready to get this thing going.
You know, this kind of all started at the last downturn. You know, if you were fortunate or unfortunate enough to be in Colorado during that 2008-9-10 period, you know, when I started in this business, we had 5 modular factories in Colorado and they all went out of business during that last kind of housing downturn. Mm-hmm. And we spent almost a decade without any modular factories in Colorado of any substance. There were some little tiny ones and things like that. And so, you know, as our state, you know, continued to grow, you know, from a housing demand standpoint, we as an industry just imported more and more and more units from out of state factories. And that's where we were at until Fading West, good friends, Eric, Charlie, wonderful people, started up Fading West. They were really the first full-scale modular factory built in Colorado in over a decade. And realizing that our factory, our state can, you know, probably support 8 or 9 different factories, you know, from a volume standpoint, we were able to kind of, you know, share that information with the state over the years. And, you know, they were able to kind of put together some funds to be able to kind of hopefully create some, you know, bring that industry back to Colorado at a time when, you know, we needed more affordable housing options and more, you know, system built builders. And so, being in the industry for a long time, we were able to kind of put together a team of folks to apply, you know, to the state, you know, for funding. And we got our award back in February. And one of the big things from a focus standpoint is that we're going to be in a leased facility. So we didn't want that 2 to 3 year, you know, timetable, you know, to build and put together a factory that, you know, would probably end up costing $25-30 million, you know, in the Front Range of Denver to put together. And so we were able to find a lease facility out kind of by the Denver airport, more or less. And, you know, we're in the process of 6 months of tenant improvement stuff happening right now, you know, and so we're, you know, our equipment's on order and, you know, we hope to be producing, you know, product towards the fourth quarter of this year, 2025 being the first full year of production. So, yeah, so just excited.
So exciting.
Absolutely.
And the fact that I'm so jazzed about partnering with you all is that the 20 years of learn by doing of executing projects to then go into the manufacturing side.
Yeah, and I think that's...
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and I think the 20 years of doing is really driving a lot of how we're approaching things right now.
And that's where, you know, I'm passionately looking at all my... different window dealers that the Art of Construction facilitates, the Window Dealer Owner Council. And I've spent 25 years in supply chain with 12 years of owning a window and door company, 10 years working for others before that. It's taking these different subcontractors and blending how we can all rise, you know, the floating, you know, rise all these boats.
Right.
And there's so much excitement there, but you do have to be able to latch on to big partners. And shout out to Naveen, who we just released the podcast around this same time where this is all getting woven together, where the whole podcast was just fascinating about what NREL is doing and the whole learn by doing of like a mock-up to be able to build it on Mars to then reverse engineer and say, how can we now use these concepts that you and I would not take the time to, how do we learn to build on Mars? But having these things to where there is a lot of talk about doing that stuff, and it's a different way of building,
right.
But the practices and the lessons learned to take from that. Tell me about your partnership with NREL with Vedera.
You know, so NREL has actually kind of been at the forefront of a lot of research around modular construction and the energy efficiencies that can be achieved if certain technologies are implemented into the construction methods at the factory. And so we have an official partnership with NREL to be able to implement their technologies complete additional research at the factory as far as, you know, time studies on how long it takes to install and the cost and also the energy modeling associated with those technologies. And then the ultimate is the actual energy, you know, monitoring once it gets installed on site as well. And so, you know, NREL is excited to finally have a factory in their backyard. Because they've done a lot of this research, but they're having to kind of go across the country a lot of times to
integrate with
other factories.
And I've had the pleasure of seeing a lot of like their mock-ups and the stuff that they're doing, and it's so amazing, but it's not going to the next level.
Correct.
That's where when I heard your connection and their connection, and that's what the Art of Construction is here to do, is to take these different fireside chats and light the fire, you know?
Yeah, get them together, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, so we're really excited to work with them. You should have Shanti on your podcast. He'd love to come talk.
Awesome.
You know, from NREL. Yeah.
Well, we'll make continue the connections. But the part I want to unpack a little bit is, so learn by doing, got the factory going.
Right.
Who should sign up? Who should be involved? And the Art of Construction, this for the builders and affiliates that want to grow their business.
Right.
I want to challenge you a little bit of like, we have to, in my opinion, we have to change. That's why we're launching the Master Facilitators of like, I'm just the architect. I'm just the designer. I'm just the developer. I only do affordable. I only do multifamily.
Right.
Who are the ideal clients that should be working with Vedera to make this thing
happen? It's kind of funny that you broke it down like that, because I think the people that we're looking for are pieces of those groups, but it's not those groups in totality. we are looking for, like, when you look at like a graph of product adoption, we are in the early adopter stage of modular system built construction adoption.
100%.
We cannot, you know, in Colorado, we're sitting at less than 2% market share, which means that less than 2% of the people in the construction industry actually know how this product works. You know,
fascinating.
And, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're
and
not
that's
out
public.
There.
That's published
that's
knowledge.
Published
right?
knowledge. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and so we're out there on phone calls right now, and the people that we're looking to find are the people that are interested in being the early adopters of technology. You know, I think it goes early. It goes innovators, early adopters, and then early majority. That's the kind of the graph. You know, for product adoption, we're at the
say
beginning.
Say that again. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. So it's the first 2.5% are technically the innovators. After that,
you can't innovate
alone,
but
there's a very
silos.
Few people that are out there doing it, and we're trying to basically organize those people into, you know, an effective system to
same
provide
thing
this
we're
product.
Trying to do with the master facilitators.
Absolutely correct, you know, and then after that you get early adopters, and that's when other people have seen the success of the innovators and they start to, you know, adopt,
like Eric and Charlie,
yes.
who did their first presentation here in Denver to where
convincing
commend them for taking their Toyota Lean principles and rolling with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and so I would say, you know, out there right now, we're trying to find the people that, you know, are interested in moving a technology forward into the building industry, you know, and that's the, you know, the innovators and early adopters, you know, of the product.
And I want to stop you there. There's so many people that I think are listening to this right now saying, raising their hand like, oh, they could be a partner to actually take my source of truth, my idea, and execute it.
Right. Absolutely. No, and like those are the people that are, you know, interested in moving something forward versus just doing what they've done every day. Those are the people we want to find. The people, you know, so yeah.
I love it. One of my passions of the, where Art of Construction, Matt McMullen, our executive director, he always talks about running between the raindrops. And my big passion, like I always talk about, you have to have passion for this, because if you're only 2%, it's easy to get frustrated.
Correct. Yeah.
So the passion has to drive collaboration, which is what the podcast is trying to do.
Right.
Because when you do that, then you can maybe actually get innovation.
Get the
adopted.
Right people in the room.
And that's this whole thing of like, you don't give up if you're talking to someone and they're not listening. We all want to be heard, but you got to find the right people that want to listen to that story.
Right.
And then, and that's what I'm starting to see, especially with leaders like you with Videra, because you're not saying it only is large projects. You're saying come in. And one of the things that you and I didn't talk about, but one of my passions is taking this podcast into a much more learn by doing educational center, right? And putting that stuff to practice. Like we had the construction instruction groups on, or Robbie Schwartz with the BS and Beer group, all these great platforms, but they kind of become siloed around building science or of building science, affordability, multifamily, all these different things.
Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This factory is not to just do big, large-scale boxes for huge projects only.
No. You know, I think from a production standpoint, you can get caught if you're only building 200, 300 unit projects, you know? And so from just a project production management standpoint, you know, I think it's important to, you know, our ideal project range as we're out there talking to everybody right now is, I would say, between 15, 20 to say 50 to 60 units, you know, from a product production standpoint. We kind of want to walk before we run, to be honest with you. You know, not that we won't take on a 200-unit podium project 3 years from now, but,
I love that.
You know.
It makes me think about the team at Toggle through Blackhorn Ventures, because a lot of these venture companies that we've tied in with, Brick and Mortar and all these other companies that bring these cool gadgets. But the ones that I've really been found, like Toggle said, we went and set up a standard rebar shop, people building rebar, tying rebar,
like
you do
just
in
like
the
normal.
Field.
Right, right.
And then our goal was to eventually have a robot augment that. And I was like, you're so smart to start that way. And this was a guy that was in marketing and doing websites before that.
Yeah, you know, and I want to talk about like the technology a little bit and where we're starting, you know, from that standpoint. And it's not glamorous a little bit. You know, I've been in this industry a long time. I know a lot of people that have run successful factories over the years. And the most successful factories, the ones that have been here a long time, they don't have a ton of automation. They have selective automation. That
totally.
They use, okay? And so when we're starting out traditional, right? We're gonna set up a factory a way that we know it can run successfully. I'm not going to base our financial viability on an unproven technology. I think as the factory progresses, technologies will be integrated as you can afford them and you can pay for them, and as they make sense for the actual production of the factory. And so from our standpoint, you know, the guys that I'm using to design our factory are, you know, some of the more seasoned, long-time factory designers in the country. And they're putting together a factory that we know will work. And then from there, we can build. We can add the technologies. We can, you know, from that standpoint.
Yeah, and there's so much you could go back and unpack that. I think about like show 253, the key to offsite construction is automation. But the whole conversation from that, the takeaway is don't automate a shitty process.
Correct.
So Dwight and team at Offsite Tech, they're coming from, he sold all the ABB robots to Katerra.
Right.
And saw you can spend so much money and then they just get thrown to the side. And a lot of these robots that people are buying are, that's exactly what's happened.
Yeah.
But it is, that's where, when we work towards closing this thing out, of why I asked the question of construction technology, because you do have to figure out how to augment to get more stuff done. I think about,
right. Like, it's not that there's not a place for it, but it's not just all, like, and I'll say this because I'm good friends with them, but like, you know, Eric and Charlie, they bought a bunch of tables that were automated and they've actually tossed them out and they're not using them anymore, you know, because it wasn't working for what they needed. And so, you know, I think you can implement things, but they have to be at smart times, you know, through the process.
So like show 293, the past, present, and future of robotic construction with Randek, be careful about spending too much time with the robotic. Make sure you're interviewing those people so they can meet you where
it's
they are.
It's not just a given.
And that's any tech stack too.
Yeah.
I've done so many, like, we get so many tech people reaching out to us. Can we, and I'm like, well, what are the problems you solve? Where are you using it? Like, there's so many of them that are looking for a solution to the problem instead of the problem to the solution.
Correct. Yeah. They're trying to find a customer for a solution that they came up with.
Right.
But yeah, instead of the other way around.
And so that's where we're at. So I think it's important that we pause for and reflect for a minute and say, you got to meet the people, the businesses, and the municipalities where they are. And that's what, like, I've been so jazzed about our conversations because they've been more about, like, okay, who's behind this? Where's the money? Where's the experience?
Yep.
Geography, the non-sexy stuff about actually just getting, actually making a budget and beating the budget.
Correct.
It really boils down to that.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the big things in modular, successful modular projects, let's talk about that for a second.
But I do want to challenge myself and others to say, just making a budget and meeting the budget. When you get into system built construction, it can squirrel all over the place. My team at my window and door company would definitely say that's one of the strengths and the weaknesses of there's so many things being brought in. You got to make sure that it can be adopted.
The one thing that I always say about modular is it has a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because you have to work through a successful modular project. You have to work through so many things before the project can begin that it takes a lot, you know, from a design standpoint, it's a little bit more challenging. You can't make decisions after the project starts, but the blessing is that you actually know what it's going to cost if you effectively work through all those things, you
100%.
Know? And so, it's a blessing and a curse. You have a lot more work to do, but if it's done the right way, you can hit that budget. Because
I totally agree. Last week, I had the pleasure of shout out to Nathan Woods, who I just had, and he runs the Construction Progress Coalition. And I attended his summit in Austin. And shout out to Charlie Dunn, who's the storyteller for DPR. And he ran a workshop in the morning titled Lego Serious Play. And the first one, it was they just gave the bag of Legos out, and everyone, there was eight people at the table and two teams of four at each table.
Okay.
Threw the bag of Legos on the table, and only the leader could build the structure. And everyone else just had to watch and not say anything.
Right.
Then they went through this process of change orders, and the architect came in and changed the design, the project, and created this whole scoring and this whole really cool showing
procedural process.
And Charlie did such a great job of like how broken it is, but how it actually gets done.
Right.
And then phase two was where what I would call system built got brought into it, and they defined the rules of the game, and they forced three sessions of planning before they could build it. And it was fascinating. I didn't partake because I was facilitating, and there's a podcast that Charlie and I recorded about this very thing. I went around and it was like, we are such doers in construction. They were like at, they were,
they just wanted to go. They wanted to go. Yeah.
They just had to grab Legos. Right. And then I was like, well, that's prefab and offsite. Cause they were just kind of like doing these things.
Right.
Off
I call
the
it
side.
Adult Legos sometimes. Yeah.
And I was like, so much gold in this thing just from a few bricks. But then the second part, how they were rowing in the same direction that then turned this whole thing that now is turning into a summit we're doing in the fall where we had all these different verticals. And I was involved, the one, it was called Dude, Where's My Fab? And it was around all these movies and all these fun themes of like how it, you have to break it apart to then put it back together.
Right.
That's what we've been doing with System Built for me in 25 years in supply chain. You have executed these as a dealer. Mm-hmm. You and I both are coming as to the table as dealers representing a kit of parts, a people, a solution.
Yeah. Right.
And
right.
saying there's got to be a better way.
Correct.
But now we have to utilize the art of construction and resources to vertically integrate. That's what I'm hearing. And that's where the CMH as a dealer is now becoming Videra, the manufacturer.
100%. Absolutely.
Love it, man. As we work to close this thing out, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology and construction?
You know, I think that modular housing, if we can get all the right people in the room, I think in those people being, you know, the designers, the contractors, the developers, if we can start to bring, you know, the innovators of those industries together, I believe that modular housing can start to become a solution to the affordable housing crisis that we're having in Colorado. We have to get the
totally
right
agree. You and I are we're both on the same bus, honking the horn, baby.
Yep.
Yeah, come to Videra. Art of Construction is honored to help share the story. Master facilitators use this as a great tool to move that forward. The final question we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Most people view modular housing, what their expectation is that it needs to save a lot of money associated with building, you know? And the thing I kind of would like to say about that is modular housing provides not only a cost benefit, but a time benefit. It allows builders to increase the volume of production that they can put together. If your projects go from being 12, 14 months down to 8 or 9 months, the bandwidth that you have to take on additional work, you know, is something that is not often accounted for when you're considering system built construction. And so while everything to do with system built, you know, has to do with kind of simplifying or lowering the cost, where a lot of people miss the advantages of it is the amount of production that you can increase if you're able to implement system-built components to your project.
Absolute gold. I'll end it with this. I always talk about two things we don't have enough of, and the one that comes first is much more important than the one that comes second, but we all lose touch of that. Time and money.
Time and money.
What an honor. We're excited. We're such fans to see. Commend you for getting the factory, getting it going. We're excited to share the stories and take a deep dive with you on this journey. Thanks for stepping up and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.